get started.
The Portland City Council come to order. Today is Wednesday, March 18th. This is the morning session of the Portland City Council. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams?
Here. I need to move that we have an evening meeting for April 15th.
Second.
I moved and seconded for an evening meeting April 15th.
April 15th? You sure you want it on the 15th?
That's what they asked for.
Oh.
April 15th.
That's for the 16th.
Volunteer, what is it, into action? Vision into action. Sorry, vision into action. So it's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to discuss whether we could have it on the 16th instead. Is that a possibility? Or
they didn't want that date.
They didn't want that
date. That was their first choice, but they changed to the 15th. So.
Okay.
Since I don't have my calendar here, is there some reason we have to do it this way rather than just email around it?
Apparently we have to do
a code change that we did that requires a majority of the council to do it.
Would you like another week to think about it?
Just to check my calendar.
Okay.
So, I just happen to know that a lot of people are on April 15th are kind of busy in the evening.
So we will rescind our motions with requests for council calendar scheduler folks to work together and come back with a motion that's been vetted.
Do we have have a motion to do it? We can't just say we're having a meeting if we all agree.
No, under our code changes, we have to have a motion and a public vote on it. So we will move. We will hold this motion over until next week. All right, Carla, Council Communications, could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 254?
Request of Lee Iacuzzi to address Council regarding transgender protections.
Carla, we're still getting no input signal.
We've got a bulb problem, I think. They're working
here
on
too?
It. Yep.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Please, all you have to give us is your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thanks. My name is Lisa Lee Iacuzzi, and I am the editor of Not a Good Queer. It's been since October of 2007 that I've been asking for some justice. And I came here today to thank the Independent Police Review Board. I know people like to come in here and complain about them. But I've been to their office at first monthly and biweekly for over a year. And every time I went to their office, they were really kind, very patient. I would go in there very upset, and they were very cool. But time has passed. I've been asking for an investigation from the outcome of this Independent Police Review Board. I don't know what the power of City Councilman. I know Dan Saltzman's in charge of the police. I'm asking for an investigation. I need a couple questions answered. I've been to the District Attorney's office, Dr. Jeff House. He said that he would look at my case if I had an Independent Police Review Board and a retaliation claim. I believe I've climbed a whale to get these done for somebody to ask a few questions. On the day of my arrest, I had a stalking order on this person, and this person had a stalking order on me, and I was arrested in my lobby because I believe that I'm transgendered. I believe I was discriminated by the police. I was in an all-women's building, and it was good just to get the gender freak out of the building. I spent 29 days in the hole. In July, I was convicted. And I've stated to the district attorney's office, how can you come after me after I won 2 substantial findings of gender discrimination in the same building from 2 separate organizations where I was arrested? So I've asked for some justice for white-collar crime. I don't know if many people go to jail for white-collar crime. But I believe what happened to me was deliberate, intentional, The day that I was arrested, the video was erased of my arrest. The statements that Reach CDC gives and the statements on the police report do not match. I've been working at this for justice for a year and a half. I'm getting tired. I don't know if it's a protest time or it's the spring, it's the anniversary of the march last year. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So thanks.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Carla, could you please read the title for Council Item 255?
Request of Daniel Capuya to address Council regarding Mayor Adams.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes, and that clock in front of you helps you keep time.
Thank you. My name is Daniel Capuya, and it's really both saddening and exciting to be addressing you all. All of you have been elected to protect and serve the citizens. Over the past few months, there have been a lot of whispers in the community, and I say whispers because folks are afraid to speak up and address their concerns. And so I thought I'd come out and share with the council what is going on in the community. If you lied to get the job, you would certainly lie to keep it. Mayor Adams, how do you suppose that the public is able to trust you? Mr. Adams, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Mr. Adams, your behaviors and actions over the past few years have been nothing short of embarrassing and unacceptable. Mr. Adams, where is your moral compass? Are you so power-hungry that you would destroy anyone and anything in your way to get what you want? Mr. Adams, are you in possession of a soul, a conscience? These are questions you should meditate on, but I will suggest that based on your actions, I have drawn the conclusion that you wouldn't even know where to begin. Portland is a great city, and furthermore, it's a city in progress. Maximal progression requires strong, honest, ethical leadership, all characteristics you seem to lack, Mr. Adams. This is a city like many other American cities that are in crisis. The unemployment rate is almost at 8%. Portland public schools are failing. Our public safety is lacking. Our homelessness is skyrocketing, and the drug use and violence are at an all-time high. 50 seconds. And I'm just going to skip over some of the things that I have. But the issue of the Major League Soccer is not going to help a mother and a father who are facing foreclosure. The issue of Major League Soccer that you are so driven to make sure that it's brought here is not going to help any of these. And we have issues on our table that need to be addressed. I played soccer in high school all my life, and I would consider myself a soccer fanatic, but I wouldn't, under these circumstances, lobby to have a soccer team here. And the cloud that you have brought over to hide the issues of the unscrupulous behavior that have taken place should not be at the forefront of the table.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Carla, could you please read item 256?
Request of Amy Harwood to address council regarding proposed liquefied natural gas terminals.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. You just need to give us your first and last name and 3 minutes.
Thank you, Commissioners, for allowing me to speak this morning. My name is Amy Harwood. I work with BARC, and for 10 years, we've been the watchdogs for Mount Hood National Forest. I'm here today to ask you to pass a resolution standing with the thousands of Oregonians who are saying no to LNG. Right now, there's a proposal to build 3 liquefied natural gas terminals and over 600 miles of pipeline in Oregon. This imported fossil fuel not only continues our dependency on a foreign energy source with an enormous carbon footprint, but also brings a long list of safety concerns to the affected communities and impacts almost every resource-dependent industry we still have in Oregon. fishermen, foresters, farmers, and even vintners. The Palomar Pipeline is proposed to cross Mount Hood National Forest, clear-cutting a highway-width corridor through old-growth forest, wild rivers, and over some of the most famous hiking trails, including the Pacific Crest Trail. So why am I asking the Portland City Council to get involved? Well, I've been working with the affected communities for about 2 years now, and they thought they just needed to get their local leaders to help. So they did that in towns such as Molalla and Forest Grove. All along the proposed pipelines have passed resolutions against this development, including the Clackamas County Commission. But it didn't work. And then they went to the state, and the Oregon Department of Energy said, no, Oregon doesn't need this development. And that hasn't worked either. And indeed, when we found out that major environmental laws would have to be changed in Mount Hood, we went to senators, and indeed, Senator Wyden wrote stating the proposed Palomar Pipeline through sensitive and treasured areas in Mount Hood National Forest is unacceptable. And still, the gas companies have not changed their scheduled construction. Despite this diverse group of people speaking resolutely with one voice, there's only one voice that is loud enough to make energy companies listen, and that is the consumer. The five of you represent the largest consumer base that the gas companies claim to be serving. Mayor Adams, in your State of the City address 2 weeks ago, you called Portland a living laboratory of sustainability. Well, I am here today to say if this is true, we absolutely cannot allow it to be at the expense of our rural neighbors. I have the great fortune of spending my workday advocating for the forests and rivers of Mount Hood National Forest. And for the past year, Bark has gone door to door talking to Portlanders about the Palomar Pipeline that threatens our backyard. And so many of them have asked us, what can I do? So for the past 2 weeks, we've asked them to sign a card to you about this resolution. I'm here today as a resident of this city, backed by more than 300 other residents, asking you to please pass a resolution in opposition to this destructive development and say no to LNG development in Oregon. I'll leave a copy of a draft of this resolution for each of you in your offices as I leave today, and I really hope that you'll contact me with questions, and I thank you again for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you. Could you... Didn't want to clap, step on the applause. Can you stop by and see Lisa Libby in my office, or Amy, or Megan?
Yeah, thank you.
That'd be great.
And thank you for doing the postcards rather than 300 emails. That's very much appreciated.
We'd appreciate that.
All right. Carla, would you please read the council item 257?
Request of Melinda Pittman to address council regarding Vision into Action Commission and living wages.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much, Mayor Adams. I'm Melinda E. Pittman, and I'm delighted to be here and talk to you today. I want to start by clarifying why we, the Vision in Action Committee, of which I am a volunteer member, asked for, we actually didn't ask for April 15th. We asked for April 23rd, which is the next Wednesday, and there was conflicts with something that you were already doing. So our second choice was actually April 15th. So we look at that as a celebration. I'm going to ask you to go back and make that resolution and pass it now rather than putting it off for a week. Maybe Commissioner Fish can look at his calendar and on the screen in front of him and figure that out. It would be great. But anyway, whatever. We are delighted to have an evening meeting because, as you know, the Vision into Action Committee and the whole Vision into Action Coalition, 56 organizations in Portland, have been working very hard building community and building a very strong infrastructure here in Portland. So actually what I want to talk about is you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about money? This is what we're all talking about at our dining room tables, in our living rooms, as we go to bed. What are we going to do about money? And I have been looking at the presentation from the Budget Committee with the list of priorities, and I see as we go way down the list that the Vision into Action Commission committee is proposed to be cut. And I see that the Youth Planning Commission is proposed to be cut. And, you know, you guys probably don't know this, but my other part of my life is I'm an accountant with a functioning personality. Can you believe that? And what I do is I work with nonprofit organizations who never have enough money to try to figure out what is justice. The Vision's values are equity, and access, community involvement, and sustainability. And when you think about who we're saying to cut, who are those people? I bet you they're mostly women. I bet you they're mostly people of color. They're mostly the people who have just gotten a job in our 10.8% economy. So I think it's an easy choice on paper to cut whole programs, and I think that it's a way to make a short-term crisis into a 20-year crisis. So I encourage you to think about who are the people that are doing the work of building this community, and who are the people that you really want to support and serve. I'll end with a quote from Cesar Chavez. He said, "When a man or woman stands up for justice, the heavens rejoice. When a woman or a man stands up for justice and is struck down, the heavens weep and the world is saddened." So please do the right thing. Have your meeting. Thank you very much for your time. Ooh, I have 15 seconds. You want to hear a song? No.
No, you're actually 15 seconds over.
I see. It's going. Now I'm in the debit character.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
By the way, Ms. Bittman, I'm glad you raised the issue of this monitor, because when I was, before I got elected, I didn't understand what these were. And this actually allows us to see what the public sees up there.
Ah.
So we use it to do PowerPoints and things. I actually don't have any way to access my office computer on this. And even if I did, I'd be resistant because, as someone who used to testify occasionally, mm-hmm. I'd rather have commissioners focused on the testimony than doing other tasks. So I actually can't access them.
Good point. You told me.
No, thank you.
That
for
is
your
a good point.
Thank
you all.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for coming to the International Women's Day and speaking. You were brilliant.
Carla, could you please read the title for Council Item 258?
Request of Jason Worcester to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. You just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
I've done it before. Thanks. I'm Jason Worcester, a volunteer spokesperson for RecallSamAdams.com. During the next 9 months, the recall of Sam Adams will happen. Please remember the following. When we're feeling angry, frustrated, and upset with one another over Sam Adams, it's not the person who we call mayor that define us as Portlanders, but it's how we resolve this conflict. I'm here to speak about a recall that is based on truth, citizen participation, and kindness. Make no mistake, the recall of Sam Adams has already begun. We just can't collect signatures for another 104 days. He now sits before us as an untrusted and politically bankrupt politician whose hand is desperately clinging to his ill-gotten power. Sam, do you not realize that your hand is antithetically placed around the throat of our democracy? Hundreds of citizens across the Portland metro region have joined together to volunteer their time and talent to recall you. Because you refuse to resign in the wake of your premeditated election deceptions, which not only have diminished the title of mayor, but also that of Portlander and Oregonian. As citizens of Portland, we are duty-bound to remove you from office for your anti-democratic actions. As Oregonians, it is our legacy to blaze civic trails that will inspire Americans to hold their elected officials accountable. Time permits me to briefly rebuke, but only some, of the most egregious disinformation cast by those who support Sam Adams' actions. One, the recall will provide a method of removing Sam Adams from office while protecting individuals who fear the well-documented political thuggery you have shown yourself capable of. Two, the recall is organized by Portland residents. It is apolitical, non-religious, and focuses solely on recalling you because of your civic transgressions you've committed against us. And three, the recall will not associate with those who see this as an opportunity to cast hate against the LGBT community. We will no longer be slaves to the political apathy and fear that corrupt politicians have come to rely on to stay in power. It is my promise to the residents of my beloved home, Portland, Oregon, that this recall will be one that redefines us to the rest of the world as being honorable, intelligent, civil, and caring. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Carly, could you please read the item title for item 259?
Are we going to do
consent
agenda?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Agenda, yeah.
You guys are right on me, aren't you? We're going to send back to my office 263, unless there's objection. Could you please read the title for 263?
Mm-hmm. Authorized contract with PB Americas, Inc. for $125,000 to develop a concept plan for Bonnie Slope West Metro Urban Expansion Area 93 and provide for payment.
Unless there's objection, 263 is moved back to the mayor's office. And I'd like to pull 264, 265, and I think 271 has been pulled as well.
Correct. 271, though, I would like to just clarify, we'll pull that and take it up during our regular agenda. If we could take it up first, if we could.
All of them will be pulled and taken first.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So anyone else wishes to pull an item from the consent agenda?
No. I wanted to pull 272.
272 has been pulled from the consent agenda. Does anyone here wish to testify on the remaining consent agenda? All right. Carla, would you please call the roll for the consent agenda?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please now read the title for Council Calendar Item 259?
Accept the master plans for Beach Park, Clatsop Butte, and Park Lane Park as a guide for future development and management of each park.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. As the Parks Commissioner, I'm thrilled to introduce this item. Before I begin, though, I'd like to acknowledge the leadership of Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who is no doubt at home watching on TV as he recovers from an illness, and the hard work of all the dedicated employees of the Parks Bureau in making this day possible. My colleagues, today we have not one, not two, but three East Portland Park master plans to share with you. This is the first time, I think, in history that we've brought three master plans as a group before council, and these are all significant sites, more than 20 acres each, and offer different amenities for our community. With Beach to the north, Park Lane in the middle, and Clatsop Butte to the south, these three parks will form the foundation of literally a new parks system for East Portland. As you'll see in the staff presentations, we have the rare luxury to design parks with the most popular amenities built in right from the beginning, like off-leash dog areas and community gardens. The Parks Bureau did an excellent job, in my view, with community outreach and public involvement, engaging a diverse range of East Portland residents, including the Russian and Ukraine, Hispanic, and Southeast Asian communities. I understand that some of the open houses turned into community potlucks. I'm sorry I missed out. Now, two of the three parks, Park Lane and Beach, are right next to public schools, allowing us to develop designs with children and families in mind as well. I'd like to give a special thank you at this time to the Park Rose and Centennial School Districts, who are excellent partners in this effort and wonderful to work with. There are some thank yous that I will do later in the process after we've had testimony, but we'll just note that it takes a big team to create three parks master plans from scratch. And I'd like to recognize first the parks team for their excellent work. Brett Horner, Dave Yamashita, Kip Wadden, Barbara Hart, and Colleen Keyes. We have the parks team before us to make a brief presentation. Brett Horner will introduce our presenters, Dave Yamashita and Kip Wadden. And following their presentation, we've invited testimony from six East Portland residents, two for each park, who've played a critical role in helping to create these master plans. Brett, the mic's yours. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. We're happy to be here today and present three more park plans at three sites in East Portland. Since the adoption of the Parks 2020 vision in 2001, we have acquired over 340 acres east of I-205 in a strategic effort to improve our service levels in this part of the city. While much of the acquired properties will remain as natural areas, we are also focusing on park development. The park plans presented today are the tool we use to respond to meet community needs and hear from residents about their desire for additional parks and open space opportunities. We believe these planned improvements, once realized, will go a long way towards improving resident satisfaction levels with Parks and Recreation Service in East Portland. They will also bring us much closer to full equity of access to parks citywide. So we believe we're going to see our numbers go up in the SEA auditor's report after these parks are built. We thank you for funding these plans and ensuring a more livable future in an area of the city with some of the most pressing needs. Kip and David are here now to present the plans and take any questions you have at the end. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Kathleen Wadden. I was the Beach Park Master Plan Project Manager. We're without visuals. I think there's a problem with the bulb. So
a little louder.
So I'll just go ahead without it. No. Okay. Beach Park will celebrate East Portland, reflecting its agricultural history and diverse cultures. The park will be an important and much-needed community gathering place that builds community pride. Located in the Columbia River floodplain and Mount Hood View Corridor, the site is landlocked by school, farmland, and neighborhood. But the 16-acre site lies within a half mile of three Park Row schools. The project will meet both programmed and unstructured recreation needs in a park-deficient, culturally diverse, fast-growing, low-to-moderate-income area. Neighbors, school staff, children, and surrounding businesses engaged in a lively and wonderful dialogue, identifying a park vision and goals. The surrounding youth community includes elementary, middle, and high schools, as well as year-round after-school programs offered by Sun School and Boys and Girls Club at Shaver Elementary. We held one workshop, two open houses, and four PAC meetings. Neighbors in particular are eager to see development of a park long promised to them first by Multnomah County and then later when it was annexed to the city in 1984. The park's landlocked figure-eight hourglass configuration presented both challenge and opportunity. We made an effort to capitalize on the site's view corridors, its topography, and its relationship to Shaver. But it was a challenge to get vehicle access into the park, and we needed to buffer the farm and neighbors from park activities. In its final design, the project transformed unused vacant land into a valuable amenity for future generation, and development of the park will also help meet park system needs in Outer East. In addition to key community goals, the project will demonstrate and educate visitors about sustainable design and environmental stewardship. Key focus areas include landscape systems, such as introducing native species for habitat, celebration of cultural elements, water and stormwater management, and energy conservation opportunities.
Yep, just so you know, we're now live.
Oh, you're live.
We now have the...
Okay. So what slide are we on?
Master plan to in our
finders. So okay. Okay, this last. The final design for the park provides multi-purpose recreation spaces, new park accesses with parking, a play area, an interactive water feature, community garden, naturalized landscaping, picnic area, soccer field, basketball, BMX area, dog off leash, and then a meandering figure eight perimeter walking path. And that's Beach.
Thank you. Do you have the PowerPoint presentation in front of you?
No, we have. We have actually.
Okay. Okay. No. Without that, that what I'll do is, if it's okay, just do the analog version.
Okay.
Of
that.
Map of East Portland, you'll see that Park Lane Park is 25 acres,
right in the middle of East Portland, about halfway between I-84 and Powell View. So it has the potential to meet a variety of needs, and probably the most useful site, I think, of many of the sites that we have in Portland. 25 acres, as I said, 5 acres is already developed. This is a site we inherited from Oklahoma County years ago. The other 20 acres is a former gravel pit. And so this is the piece that provides a lot of potential. What's interesting about this site as well, for visitors, is that this is also next to Harold Oliver Elementary and Intermediate School, and it's also next to a church. And there's some apartment development up here. So in terms of
okay, is that better? All right. So in terms of overall potential, this is really a critical position because you're right in the mix of all these cultural institutions. So that provided a wonderful opportunity to work, as Brett said, with the school district, which was wonderful, and with the church as well. So the goals for this site were to maximize the use of the whole site. It is flat. It's got pretty good access. Stark is here. 162nd is off to the right. So we wanted to maximize the use of the site. So that's why when you look at the drawing, you'll see there's an outdoor aquatic center. There's a community garden outdoor education facility, again, located next to the school. You could have shared parking. There's also room in the middle for sports fields, room for tennis courts, skate park, and parking as well. There's also a play area, and this is the existing development here. And so the intent here is not to renovate this very much because it really works the way it is, but to then add features. So that's Park Lane Park. Then to the south is Clatsop Butte, which is 43 acres. And this also has a very different character than the other two sites. This is at the top of a hill, Clatsop Butte. And it's very different from the others in that this is primarily a meadow, and then this is the side of a hill that's heavily forested. And so we have a natural resource area just to the north is Powell Butte. This site, and then what's interesting about this site and very strategic, is that it's one of the sites that makes up a collection of other natural resource areas. And the broad idea here is to create what we call Forest Park of the East. So you have a collection of natural resource areas all connected by trails. Okay. And so what we have here, again, is we call it a hybrid park, which essentially means it's a combination of what you might consider a neighborhood park along with a natural resource area. So what you'll see on the drawing is a flexible use open space area. There's room for a soccer field. There's also a children's play area, a place for a community gathering space, hard court sports. And then as you move to the north, as you go down the slope, it transitions into a more natural area. So this is where it begins to take on the character of the natural resource area just to the north and to the east. The issue here, just so that you know, is that to get to the site from Foster, you've got to go through a lot of single-family residential. So that became the challenge for the project team of how do you maximize the use of the site but also minimize impacts on the neighbors, and then also protect the natural resource values as well. So those were some of the challenges that we were faced with. The final thing I'd like to just leave with you is some information about the cost, as you'll see in the slide. And I actually, could you pass my? So these are order of magnitude costs for the three sites. And so what we have are conservative estimates. For Beach Park, it's $5.5 to $6.5 million. For Park Lane Park, it's $16 to $18.7 million, of which $6 million is the outdoor aquatic center. And then for Clatsop Butte, it's $5.8 to $6.8 million. So that's the end of our
And these are low confidence estimates?
I would say so. We have a 20 to 40% contingency on these costs. But because we're operating at the bubble level, there's still a relatively low level of confidence. And it's our best shot at coming up with these.
And how much cash do we have on hand?
Not a whole lot right now.
We basically don't have the current funds for any of the master plans that we presented recently. My challenge is next to come up with the resource package, which could come from a variety of sources, SDCs, potentially a future levy or bond measure, other tools. But what we're asking you today is to accept the reports and the vision, hear from the community, and then my task is to come back to you with a plan at some point how we pay for it. At this point, what I'd like to do is we've asked two community folks for each plan to come up, so we'll invite them and then bring the parks team back for any questions. And I'd like to start with the Beach Park Master Plan and invite Dr. Karen Gray and Russ George to come forward. Karen Gray is a familiar face in this body. She is the superintendent of Park Rose School District and a member of the Beach Park Public Advisory Committee. Her vision is to extend on the area's existing resources to build a stronger, more connected community that reaches across all ages and ethnic groups. Three Park Rose schools are within a half mile of the park, and as has been noted earlier, Shaver Elementary is next door. Russ George, he is an immediate park and Shaver School neighbor and a member also of the Beach Park Public Advisory Committee. Mr. George has lived in the neighborhood for how many years, sir?
40 years, sir.
Only 40 years. His residence sits on the park boundary on the northern parcel, and Mr. George was an exceptional committee member, open-minded, and truly excited that this vision came to reality. Thank you both for your time. Karen, we'll start with you, and why don't you take about 3 minutes, if you may.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Adams and commissioners, for having us here today. The Beach Park Master Plan was a very important process to us in Park Rose. What I'd like to speak to first is the process. The process was led by Kip Wadden and also included Doug Brennan and some other folks, and they gathered some very solid community representation for the Beach Park Master Plan group. They held several open houses at Shaver Elementary School, gathering more input from the community and showing off the multiple designs and the design features. Eventually, we had a good conversation with our group and the public about the three designs and made a recommendation for design number two, which was a beautiful design that has water features, field for rent, community gardens, several dog runs, a small skate park, and a basketball area, which really fit the needs of our community. The reason why we really would love to see this happen for the Park Rose community is because it's much needed in East Portland. East Portland does not have a lot of gathering places for families and community members to be a community, and this would provide a wonderful opportunity for us. It not only brings the community together, but it also forms a solid partnership with the school district as well, since it borders three of our schools. While I've got you, I'd like to put in a plug for the idea of a Park Rose High School regional soccer field. I have spoken with each of the commissioners. They've been gracious to give us time, and I mean most gracious. Reading out of the 2020 action plan, which I brought with me, on page 62, it says, develop new sports fields in conjunction with schools and areas where little other area is available, including Park Rose High School. And that's on page 62 of the plan. So we feel like it's a great partnership. We're not asking for a handout. We're asking to be a partner with the city and would very much appreciate that. And then I have a personal comment, since I might have a couple more seconds left. I would like to state that after hearing such hateful words against you, Sam Adams, I am moved to say how much I appreciate your work with the East County superintendents, the Multnomah County superintendents, and I am speaking about the Education Cabinet in East Portland Action Plan, and I hope to work with you a lot in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you for inviting me to this group today, to the commissioner and the mayor. I am a resident of the Park Rose area. I live on Northeast Failing Street, which is, one of our great founders of our city. When we moved in, we backed up to our backyard on the north side is the Gary Farm. Several years later, the Pitten family started their family farm there because his wife, Roseanne, is a Gary. So they were moved out by the airport in their expansion. But anyway, we were very fortunate over these 40 years to have a farm in our backyard and to enjoy the families that operated those farms. And then the Pitten family decided to stop farming and had put their property up for sale. As Jim and I kept talking about what was going to be happening next, he kept giving me good news and bad news, but finally the good news was they'd been sold to a Greenbelt type of organization, and then I think eventually then the city had that piece of property. The park is located in has two different sections to it, kind of an hourglass shape to it. Two different phases have been talked about, Phase A and Phase B, the north section being Phase A. As Karen mentioned, the committee, I think, had a very active group. Parks and Recreation Department did an excellent job, I think, of bringing the neighborhood together. The architect did a good job of bringing together the different pieces that the neighborhood meetings came up with. And then was topped off with the taking the three proposals, to the Park Rose Farmers Market one day. Kip mm-hmm. was there with her, some of her staff showing it, and a lot of people coming over and asking questions about it. Shaver Elementary School Parents Night Out. A huge crowd at that place, and likewise a lot of interest in what was going on. And then the Argate Neighbors Night Out held at Argate Park. All these went really well, and as a result of those meetings, as Karen mentioned, this plan seen before you is the one that we are proposing. It adds a lot to the area. It's really community designed, and look forward to the City Council approving its master plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to just read into the record the other committee members' names: Cindy Bartman, Diana Brown, Andrea Bunica, Linda Cadzo, Aaron Trapica, Tom Olson, Linda Robinson, Steve Voorhees, Kimberly Wagner. Also, the landscape architect on the project is MIG Inc. Civil engineers were MGH Associates. The environmental team was Pacific Habitat Services. Then geotechnical was GRI, Geotechnical and Environmental Consultants. We appreciate their good work. And I will say to both Russ and Karen, we cannot do our job at parks without thousands of volunteers who help us manage our system, do our visioning and our planning. In this tough economic climate, we're actually proposing to cut some planners on our central staff, which will have significant repercussions. This is the backbone of what we do, is planning for the future. But even with our resources, we can't do it without engaged citizens like you. So thank you for the time that you dedicated to help us get this thing right. Next up, we're going to ask two citizens who are involved in the Park Lane Park Master Plan. If Ron Clemenson and Julie Scarpole will come forward, please. And I'll introduce them as they come forward. Ron, who I think joined us yesterday at a budget hearing, so this is
my other cap.
There you go.
You're a busy man.
Ron is a park neighbor and vice chair of the Centennial Neighborhood Association. Ron served on the Master Plan Committee and was highly effective in helping the committee think through the balance of recreational facilities and neighborhood impacts. Through his quiet but thoughtful leadership, Ron was a key player in developing this plan. He was involved in getting the master plan on Portland Park and Rec's work program and has agreed to continue to participate in the park's development. Julie is a park neighbor and a mother of two young children who attend Harold Oliver School just next to the park site. She attended all of the meetings and was very helpful in shaping how the park could be developed for younger families who live adjacent to the park. She grew up in the neighborhood and was one of the committee's most enthusiastic supporters. Welcome both. Ron, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, thank you. Good morning, all. Jan and I, my wife and I, moved out in Outer East in 1967. At that time, there was a gravel pit. It was about 100 feet from our house. The sales gentleman said, "No problem, I don't think you'll have any problem." The first morning, we were practically rocked out of bed by the clatter of rocks going up the conveyor belts and grinding into gravel. So we've now come to the point, fortunately, where we have a filled pit. And now we have to decide, as the Park Lane Master Plan will show, how we'd like to have that look. And I think it's a great plan. And I've heard what the parks folks said, and they've pretty well covered the bases on what we'd like to see in it. It was a great involvement because we covered the neighborhoods. We got people out to make their comments, what they'd like to see and have there at the proposed Park Lane Park Master Plan. So it's been an inclusive event, and I think that's what's key to anything like this. It's a very large project. And I'd certainly like to compliment the Parks Bureau staff and the consultants for a great job, because they really allowed us as citizens and other players from the church and the schools to come in and really give their ideas. And I think it does have a great prospect. The one thing that I would emphasize on this is that in Outer East, where we're located, we're kind of in the middle, and we're along light rail. And since 1967, development, as you all know, has been intense. So we have a lot of folks that have joined us now from many cultures and a lot of kids. And so I think in the future, as soon as this park can receive some money, we can get some money in the future, we'd like to see that built for them, because it is really needed. And in this fast-paced world, people need a change of pace, and a park that has various assets for all ages is really beneficial. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony and just say, hopefully in the near future, the money will be there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I need to scoot.
Julie?
Yes. Good morning, and thank you very much for your service to our city and for hearing us today. Like Commissioner Fish said, I'm a mother of two young children, and my family and I live very close to the park. And I would just like to take a few minutes to explain why I think developing this park is so vital to Outer Southeast Portland. There is a real deficiency in parks in Outer Southeast Portland. There are parks there, but they're not very big, and they have very few amenities with them. Currently, Park Lane Park consists of half of a basketball court, a very outdated play structure, green space, and a few tables. And that's actually considered a well-equipped big park in Outer Southeast Portland. And those facilities are used heavily throughout the year. You can pretty much find somebody using them anytime you drive or walk past the park. But they are very limiting as far as the type of activities they can help facilitate. So if we want to go swimming, go on a walking trail, play tennis, take our kids to play on an engaging play structure, have our dogs walk off leash, we have to leave our neighborhood, leave our communities, and drive miles to get to those places. Since we are driving here and driving there, we're just very, very spread out. And so a lot of the people in the Outer Southeast, I think, are just skipping activities because it's very hard to coordinate the travel between work and family. I am one of those people who are traveling here and there for soccer and tennis and swimming and playgrounds, and also sometimes skipping events just because it's too hard to get to. So that's why I joined the Planning Advisory Committee. As we embarked on helping to plan the park, we really started to see the impact that the lack of parks has had on outer southeast Portland. And then we also really began to see and envision the impact that a really, truly great park, a signature park, could have on outer southeast Portland. And we just really began to see Parkland Park as the signature park of outer southeast Portland. And we all were very, very excited about it. It could be a park that families could participate in activities together, that the school could use for outside learning. It could be a park where the community, young and old, could come together. And it could really be a park that the community could use and be real proud of. And I think that would be just a real boost to outer southeast Portland. I understand there's really not a lot of money in the budget right now, so I would ask you today to accept our plan for the Master Park and somehow make it a priority in the near future to fund the park for outer southeast Portland. I think it would just be a real, real investment for the city of Portland. It would be an investment in a neighborhood, be an investment for family, for children, for livability, and just really an investment for an entire community. So thanks.
Thank you.
Have a comment.
Your mic here
meets one. Thank you both for coming today, and thank you for your work on this. I know both retired leaders and young mothers have many other ways that you could choose to spend your time, and I really appreciate your service to your neighborhood and to our city, and I love the fact that you're dreaming big, that you didn't say, well, this is outer southeast, they're not going to fund anything. You got this wonderful plan, which really will make it a signature park, and I appreciate the fact that that's what's on the table. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Ron and Julie, thank you for your public service, and I'd like to just mention the names of the other citizens who joined with you.
Definitely.
Justin Cutler, Ada Fonseca, Patty Hicks, Rick Larson, Deborah Michaels, Kelly Morency, and Mike Vanderveen. So we thank them for their service as well. Thanks, folks. Next up is the Clatsop Butte Master Plan, and we've invited Paul Groshon and John Simonson to come forward. Are they here? While you're coming forward, I'll introduce both of you. Paul is a park neighbor and vice chair of the Pleasant Valley Neighborhood Association. He has been a longtime supporter of the park and its acquisition. He was on the master plan committee and has taken the lead in organizing neighbors and in addressing problems when they occur. He is a wonderful example of a citizen working effectively with Portland Parks and Rec. John is a young father of three children who has lived in Clatsop Butte Park for over 3.5 years. He served on the planning committee his first time and was initially skeptical of just what was to be planned. According to John, quote, the master plan the committee came up with is one that is well balanced for all stakeholders. It meets the needs of the closest neighbors in the region as well as balancing passive activities with active activities. Paul and John, welcome to council, and please go ahead.
Thank you for the introduction. You left out that in spite of my age, I also have two young children. So I get to serve the senior committee and the...
I think I have you beat. 16 and 5.
6 and 5.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. We'll compare notes later.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to hope that I can start carpooling with Julie.
That might reflect on my judgment, but as Commissioner Fish, first of all, thank you for allowing us to come and meet with you. As Commissioner Fish had mentioned, I had been involved in this process for many, many years. The recreation part of this hybrid park was land bank 8 or 9 years ago using SDC funds and has sat unused for those years. The open space area, the other part of the hybrid park, was slated for development up until just about when the master planning process began. And then Commissioner Adams and Commissioner Salzman stepped up to the plate and acquired it, and so it was added to the parkland. I'd like to quickly mention the process. I have been incredibly impressed with all of the process in making this master plan. the citizen involvement was genuine. We were listened to, and we certainly were part of the process. Our ability to work with the parks personnel was very impressive, and the parks personnel themselves are very professional. I can say without reservation that this master plan is certainly has my endorsement. I think it's a very well-balanced plan. As was mentioned, it respects both the needs of the wide neighborhood, but it also respects the concerns of the close-in neighbors as far as transportation and noise and some of the possible negatives. It's designed to meet all those criteria. It's a very unusual piece of property. It sits at the top of Clatsop Butte. It has sight lines of, I believe, four volcanoes, all the other buttes. It provides connectivity to the Springwater Corridor and, in fact, across to Powell Butte without walking on any roads. You have to cross Foster Road, but there's nature trails that connect Springwater Corridor, Powell Butte, and Clatsop Butte. It's very versatile. We designed it with the Parks Department, of course, to meet all age groups, families, seniors, and it was well received when it was displayed to the public. That being said, and other people have mentioned the funding issue, as the master plan process proceeded and started to get into its final days is about when CNN changed to an economy-only network and started just scaring everybody to death. It's clear to everybody that we're not going to go out and start breaking ground for this kind of facility in the near future. But that does not diminish the need for a park. And there, I would challenge the commission. I would challenge Commissioner Fish and everybody else involved to both challenge and enable the Parks Department to look for interim alternatives so that we can begin to use this facility in some fashion. There's an example at the, I believe it's called the Gate Park.